here. And so if you would turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. When you found that, go ahead and stand. I want to be an encouragement to y'all, especially you young people. And I hope you get some good things out of this. So let's read this. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this conference, Lord, all the work and effort that's been put into it. Thank you for these young people, Lord, who are here tonight and learn about missions and what it means. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. I pray that we'd walk away better tonight, Lord, and help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both evil and good. And the Bible also says that for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so what that means is that God recognizes you. He sees the good things that you do for Him. Especially as a saved Christian, you young people came to church. And God sees that. And He recognizes that. He applauds that. I mean, there might be an applause up in heaven for that. And I think about the work that was done in this conference. And all the preparation and all the little details that go into something like this. And maybe your pastor didn't see you doing something, but God did. And I think about the miles driven from the missionaries just to get here. And especially with a lot of kids, that can be interesting sometimes. But God sees your efforts there, and He's looking down and saying, you know what? I see what you're doing. And that's an exciting thing. It's a great thing. Even the smallest things are recognized by God. And the Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him." This is Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." And what a great God we serve. You know, He's keeping track for us. And I, you know, when I really caught on fire for the Lord, I was able to witness to my grandma. She was 92 years old, and she prayed with me, and she got saved, and she might have already. Her mind was already starting to slip. And with tears in her eyes after that was done, she said, "Chad, I'm afraid I won't remember this." And I told her, God will remember.
Amen.
You know, He sees the efforts that you make and where your heart's at. And so it's like that in everything we do. It's like that in praying. It's like that in reading your Bible. You young people, maybe you have to memorize some Bible verses, and it's tough. But God sees that. And He's up there pulling for you, saying, "Yeah, that's great. You know, keep that going and keep doing that." And maybe one day, you know, God will call you to pastor a church or be a worker in a church, whether it's working a bus or teaching a Sunday school. And those are all incredible things. But whether it's giving out a tract or soul winning or praying or just encouraging somebody, God sees those efforts. And He wants to not only see them, but He wants to reward you for them. And I had, you know, one main experience in my life that I remember. I was saved when I was 15 years old back in 1986 in January in Cadillac, Michigan, of all places. We were at a youth activity ski trip. And I was brought up a Catholic. I was adopted at birth, and my parents were Catholic. But I had a friend at high school. He went to a good gospel preaching church. He invited me to this youth activity. And that day, we arrived up there in Michigan, and they did inner tubes down this giant hill. And have any kids ever done that before? Rode a tire inner tube down a hill. Okay. Well, I tried it, and it was fun. But you got about halfway down the hill, and it sounded like a train. And I started to get Scott. It went from fun to, wow, am I going to make it down this thing okay? And one young man broke his leg, and they started hanging on to the inner tubes and going down real fast all together. And I was just lucky to make it out of there alive, to be honest with you. It was pretty intense. But it got me thinking, because that night they gave the gospel the same way they give the gospel in this church. And I bowed my head, closed my eyes. And I knew I wasn't for sure going to heaven, but I wanted Jesus to forgive me and take me to heaven. And so that was the first time I'd ever done that, back in 1986. And I went behind the auditorium. I talked to my youth pastor. He asked me some questions, and not much changed in my life after that, as far as church goes. You know, I was born in the Catholic Church. I went to the Catholic Church, and Sunday came around. The next Sunday came around, I went to church with Mom and Dad. And so that was my life. And I can say that God lived in my heart. You know, I made some decisions for God that I would not have made if I wasn't saved. And so, you know, God sees your salvation. He sees your heart. He sees your needs. And He wants to reward you for those. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God, He wants to answer your prayers, young people. And old people, maybe you're not sure what God wants you to do yet. But God will lead you and direct your path the same way that my path was directed. I graduated from high school, went on to Indiana University. I went to college there and got a business degree, and ended up working for a large company. They made all kinds of consumer products. I was in sales for them. They made Dove bar soap and all kinds of ice cream, and as a company called Unilever. And I was doing very well with them. And during that time, I was seeking God. I was trying to do right, even though I couldn't find a church like this one that you're going to today. I didn't find a good Bible church at that time. But my dad suddenly died, and it was a shocker for me. He had really bad diabetes, and his legs were bad. And I just decided at that point, and I think this goes back to my salvation when I was 16 years old, I decided at that point that God was going to be my daddy. And that was a great decision. I mean, I could have gotten bitter and upset and maybe not tried to go to church, that kind of thing. But I just said, you know what, Lord? You created my dad, and all the fun relationships that we had growing up, cutting lumber, cutting wood, and shooting guns, and driving cars, and fixing things, all those things, Lord, You gave me those experiences. And so some of you have lost loved ones, or maybe there's someone that used to be close to you don't see very much, and God's a great substitute for that. And so, young people, if you ever lose somebody in your family, just remember, God, He's there to take care of you. He sees your situation, and He's a great substitute. But to make a long story short, after that, I was really seeking the Lord. I was 29 years old, and I was empty in my heart. I was struggling, and I can remember late at night, way out in Connecticut, I was working just outside of New York City, and praying to God, saying, "Lord, whatever it is that You want me to do, I'll do it. And I really mean it, Lord. I really will do it. If You want me to give up a job or to give some money away or whatever it is, God, You just show me what it is You want me to do." And I really felt like I was connected to God and that He heard my prayer. And by the way, young people, He hears your prayers.
Amen.
He hears them.
Amen.
And He's preparing a path for you. And it's a path that is very special for you. And He'll show you where to go. But for me, I didn't know where to go. I was already 29 years old. And that God answered that prayer 4 years later. Now, my mother had passed away too. She had passed away 4 years after my dad. And so my heart was really searching. And just around that time, two weeks after my mother passed away, I was living out in California, and a friend of mine said, "Chad, why don't you spend Easter Sunday with me and my family?" He said, my brother and our families get together, and he said, my brother and I, we have these Xbox competitions. And I thought to myself, wow, these guys are in their late 30s and they're playing Xbox. I was, well, okay. I said, we'll give it a go. And so I called him Easter Sunday and came up to his house, had breakfast with him, and he said, "Hey, Chad, I just started going to this new church." He said, "Do you mind coming with me?" And my heart was tender, and I was seeking the Lord. I said, "Sure, but Tim, I'd love to go." And so Tim and I sat on the front row. His wife came too. And it was a smaller church, but they had a big speaker right in front of me. It was Easter Sunday, and the gospel was preached just pure and clear and plain as I had heard it when I was 16 years old. And I got excited and raised my hand, came forward and prayed, and hardly even remembered what I had done 16 years ago. And Tim's wife came forward. She'd never heard the gospel. And so for about the next 52 weeks during praise time on Wednesday night, Tim would raise his hand and say, "I remember when Chad got saved, my wife got saved." And it was a great thing. And I had a good church like yours to go to. And so that in itself was like a reward for me. I had a good church to go to. And if you think about it, when your preacher is up here preaching, or one of the missionaries this Sunday or tomorrow or Saturday is up here preaching, and the Holy Spirit is working on you, and God opens that door and says, "You know what, I want you to take that step. I want you to take that step and follow me." You know what? That is the God of heaven who created you, created this world, talking specifically to you. And that's a great thing. I mean, that's like a reward in itself. I mean, the God of 7 billion people is having a personal conversation with you and says, "I want you to take a step forward for me." And that was my life after I found that church, that good Baptist church, Victory Baptist Church, Brentwood, California, when I was 32 years old and was a young Christian. You know, folks, I've only been in a Baptist church for 14 years. I don't tell very many people that because, you know, I mean, a lot of people were born in the Baptist nursery and they've been a Baptist their whole life. I've only been a Baptist for 14 years. I've been married to my wife for 10 years. And I'm like that secular alien that came in and stole my wife, you know, out of Bible college. Not really. But, I was saved and was rooted. But I'm a young Christian. And God can use everybody. Amen. He can use everybody. And so the Bible, you know, it tells us very clearly that God recognizes you. Amen. He recognizes every tract given and every effort made. And He even recognizes the things that you give up to get closer to Him. Amen. You know, it wasn't always easy because in California, I had to give up my old secular life. And I had a big stack of CDs in the corner of my house. I had spent a lot of money on that. And it wasn't good music. It wasn't good godly music. And I'd come home from church on Sunday, and I'd look over there in the corner, and I'd just be disgusted with myself. I said, "Man, I got to get rid of these things." And I did. I put them in a box and set them at the curb and was really happy. The problem was the trash guy didn't come for a couple days. And so I'd drive home from work and I'd look at that big box and suddenly dollar signs would go off in my head. I think, wow, I spent a lot of money on that. And after day two, I picked up the box and shamefully I brought it inside. I didn't open it up, didn't touch it, but it sat inside my house. And finally, frustrated, the next Sunday, I came home and I called my friend who lived in a condominium complex. I said, "Mark, when does your trash guy come?" He said, "Why? Well, that's a weird question. What do you ask me for?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to get rid of something." He said, "Well, it comes tomorrow." And I can remember picking up that box of CDs. There were probably 80 or 100 of them. And I can remember the weight of that box And I can remember lofting that thing up real high into a dumpster. And that was a great decision in my life. And any decision that I decided to take, whether it was come to church or going soul winning, or, you know, God's calling me to do this, and so I came to the altar, I never regretted any of those moves. And I doubt, you know, the men in the Bible, Paul and Gideon and Moses and David, I don't think any of those men regret for taking a step forward for the Lord. I mean, they're looking down and saying, yep, you know, I'm chapter 14 right there. And they're all over the Bible, and God has used them greatly. And listen, young people, God will use you greatly because He sees your heart. He sees that you're trying to do good things for Him, and He wants to reward you for those things. The Bible in the book of James and in Revelation talks about Christians who endure temptation. And there's a lot of temptation to not do what God wants you to do. But, you know, if you suffer a little bit for that, I think about Brother Vong and all the people that suffered in Cambodia for being a Christian. And it's like that out there in Southeast Asia. A lot of people from Burma, Myanmar, and Vietnam that suffer a lot for carrying a Bible around, for showing that they are a Christian. And God says there's rewards for that. And so even if you get rewarded here on this earth for following God, if you don't, you'll get rewarded up there. And isn't that a great thing? You know, God keeps track for you. And He'll take care of you, whether it's down here or up there. But taking a step forward for Him, you won't regret it. You know, after a couple of years in that church in California, I remember coming one Sunday morning, and I'd usually get there a little bit early to help pastor, you know, set up song books and put some signs out front. And it was about 30 minutes before church, and we sat down together. He said, "You know, Chad, you ever thought about going to Bible college?" And I just sales mentality, just as quick as I could, just said, "Oh, no, pastor, Pastor doesn't want, you know, God doesn't want me to go to Bible college, and God just wants me to be a layman right here." And you know, if God hasn't called you to Bible college, I understand. He doesn't call everyone to Bible college, but that morning He was calling me to Bible college. And I totally lied to my pastor. I told him no. And I sat there in the middle of the church, and I struggled with that decision. I mean, it was like a war going off inside, and my heart was beating, and it was like a storm in there, and I had trouble listening to the preaching. I thought, wow, man, Chad, you can't do this. You know, if God calls you something, you need to follow Him. And so the money was good, and the job was good, and the cars were good, and things were going well at work. But God was saying, you know what, Chad? You need to go to Bible college. And just to emphasize His point, I drove home from church that day, and the house directly behind my house was for sale. And usually things didn't have a lot of publicity when they went up for sale in Northern California in the early 90s. Things sold very quickly. But I went into that house, and I talked to the realtor. He said, "This house is already sold." And I'm looking around the house, and it's the same floor plan as my house. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, "You know what, Chad? If you want to leave that job, if you want to leave, sell that house, I'll make it happen for you. You can go to Bible college." And I was single. You know, I dated, but I wasn't finding a good Christian girl. It's hard to do out there when you're not in church, in a good church. And I was in a good church, but they didn't have not too many good females in the church, at least the ones that I was interested in. And so, you know, God said, "You know what, Chad, you can sell that house." And so I called the realtor. It took me about 8 months to finally come to the realization that I needed to take that step forward. And I called my realtor, and she got saved. She came over. I led her to the Lord. And she got excited about me going to Bible college. She really wanted to sell my house. And we put it on the market, and it sold in 30 minutes. It didn't even hit the computer system yet. And it sold so fast, I didn't have a place to live. I still had a couple months left to finish out my job. And my neighbor I found out he had a little apartment in the back of his house that he had sectioned off, and he said, "Chad, the renter just left. Why don't you go stay with him?" And just, you know, I would walk through a door and God would open another one. Walk through a door and God will open another one. And that's just, in my experience, that is how it's been. And, you know, eventually I met Sarah. You know, my first year of Bible college, and that was an interesting story, but you know, the Lord put us together. And we have three beautiful children now, all born in Thailand. And so God rewards. He recognizes. He rewards. And guess what? You're not going to have any regrets for following the Lord. And, you know, sometimes your pastor might be up here and you think, "Man, I can't do that. And he needs people to do this. And I don't have time to do this. I don't have money to do this." And you know what? What's somebody going to think? What will somebody at work or school think if I start doing this? And those are the kind of thoughts that we have when God calls you to walk through that door. The financial thoughts. You know, what am my family going to think? What are people going to think? But can I tell you that God, He not only sees you and rewards you, but He'll represent you along the way too. He'll back you up. He's got your back. He'll cover you. He'll help you take that step forward. And I didn't know what people would say at work when I told them I was going to give up a 12-year career and go serve the Lord. And I just decided I was going to sit down with every person and try to give them the gospel. There were about 12 people in our office, and two of the ladies were already saved, and I led one lady to the Lord, and the men I wasn't able to reach. I found out that the happy people were the saved people, and the unhappy people were the ones that hadn't trusted the Lord yet. But some of those guys, I would sit down and tell them, and then they're like, "Now, you're leaving the company?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to go to Bible college." And they're like, "Wow, you know." And so, you know, I just wasn't sure what I was going to face. But in the end, God took care of me. My vice president took us all out to dinner, and he said, "I just want you to know, Chad's going to leave the company. He's going to go serve God." And he said, "I'm a little bit jealous." He said, "I wish I could do something like that." And come to find out, my vice president was a saved Christian. And he was thrilled about what I was doing. I can remember being at my last big company meeting. And at the last minute, they changed the location and they changed it to Las Vegas. We stayed at the MGM casino, and of course Las Vegas is not a good godly place. And I just thought to myself, you know what? If I can go to this meeting and do the right thing, I can do it. I can do it anywhere. And sure enough, you know, first night the wine glasses come out around the table, and I just thought, man, what are people going to think? You know, when I just say no. And those two wine glasses came in front of me, and I grabbed them and I handed them back to the lady. I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to do this." And people respected me.
Amen.
They're like, "Well, you know, he's doing it for God, and he wants to feel good in the morning." And you know, he'll represent you whether you're at school or at work or here in the church. He'll take care of you. The Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." And God's saying, he's going to take care of you. He's going to represent you as you take that step. And guess what? If you are made fun of or persecuted or there is a shortfall somewhere, you know, the Bible talks about rewards given for suffering as a Christian. And so if you go through a little bit of pain to take a step for the Lord, He's going to either reward you here or up there. And so you just can't go wrong being a Christian. You can't go wrong taking a step forward or dumping the things that are keeping you from God. And, you know, we're all growing, and I've been on the mission field, but can I tell you, if I don't spend time with the Lord in the morning, it's tough to go, it's easy to go wrong on the mission field. And I wasn't used to Thailand and the long lines and all the paperwork and everybody had a stamp in their hand. And everybody stamps your paperwork, and things that would take 15 minutes here might take all day over there. And so if I didn't spend time with God that day, I might be apt to get impatient. I might be able to miss giving the gospel to somebody because my heart is not right. But the decision to read and to do the right things in the morning, or the decision to come to church, or the decision to walk through that door for God, I've never had any regrets. And He sees you. He recognizes you. He wants to reward you. You're not going to have any regrets. And He's going to represent you along the way. You know, I can remember driving that big U-Haul, all packed up, driving out to Indiana to go to Bible college. And I was so excited, and I thought, you know, I'd cleaned up my life a little bit. And I was right about Reno, Nevada, just before Reno, going up the big hill there, and there was a big snowstorm, and the traffic just came to a screeching stop. In fact, the highway turned into a parking lot. And there was no traffic coming on the interstate from these two lanes. And there I was with my big U-Haul and a big trailer and sitting in there by myself, heading off to Bible college, feeling real good about myself. And I thought, wow, what's going on? You know, why is the traffic stopped? So I turned on that radio, and wouldn't you know it, that same music that used to sit in the corner of my living room came on the radio. And I sat there with tears in my eyes, wondering why I should even listen to it. And pretty soon the news came on, and a U-Haul with a trailer went off the cliff on the other side of the mountain, and so the traffic was stopped. And I know that God didn't want to kill me. You know, I was driving a U-Haul with a trailer, but it did get my attention. And the Lord was saying, you know what, Chad, if you want to go to Bible college and serve Him, you need to do it my way.
Amen.
And it's tough. You know, your soul, your carnal body wants to listen to the wrong music or do the wrong thing. But God says, you know what, if you follow Me, I'll take care of you. I'll give you a beautiful wife and a happy family. Even though you're 32 years, 34 years old, you're not getting any younger, brother. I'll still make it possible for you to get married and still make it possible for you to go on the mission field. And I didn't know it at the time, but God, you know, He eventually wanted me to be a missionary. I didn't want to be a missionary when I came to Bible college. But I followed, and the Lord, you know, He delivered. But your life is the same. And you get called to do things for God the same way that I got called. And when you decide to serve Him and make that decision and step through that door, God recognizes you. He sees you. And He wants to reward you here or up there. And you're going to sit up there in heaven one day and say, wow, I'm so glad I made those decisions. I'm so glad at this conference, when a pastor or a missionary preached, I listened, because now God is rewarding me and my life is on track, and one day I'm going to be up in heaven. I'm going to look down and say, man, I'm so glad I did that. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it was, because God represented me along the way. He was like my buddy. And he made things easier for me to do the hard things for God. And so, not only that, He's real.
Amen.
God is real. And we know this throughout the Bible. I mean, David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." And Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job, the man who was persecuted and tested, and he stuck with God, and God blessed him for it, gave him a great family and his wealth back. And so God will do the same for us. He'll either here or up there, He will reward us. He'll see the things that you are doing for Him. And whether it's big or small, and maybe it's getting rid of something for God, and He'll represent you. And everything you do for Him is real. It lasts forever. And serving God is not just in this life, but it's forever. And so I hope that when you sit out in the crowd, just like me, and the preacher preaches and the missionary preaches, that when God calls you, you'll take that step and you'll trust that He'll do these things for you. Pastor, please come and wrap us up. I thank you again for this time, and y'all been blessing. We're looking forward to the rest of the conference with y'all. Thank you, preacher.